Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's on the way. And what another day of grace that we have. We are excited that we do have another day of grace. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it would be so much better if the Lord come quickly and take us out of here, and then we'll be with Him forever. That would be a wonderful thing. But if you have your red book, let's go ahead, turn to page 441. We're going to sing Love Lifted Me. And I think we sing all three verses. Love Lifted Me. Suddenly died a cardiac arrest after visiting her daughter and her son-in-law. And that was a strange thing because she had some ailments going on. And the last thing I was told that she said to her husband was, "Thank you." And then she just turned purple and they couldn't bring her around. And so just keep the family together or in prayer. The Smith, Jim and Paula Smith, they're in the hospital in Buffalo area. The Wagners, as we know, Walt and Barb, keep them in thought and prayer. Sherry's sister Tammy with the thyroid. Stephen's mom, my son-in-law's mom, Diane, she had fallen in Colorado. Keep her in thought and prayer. The McCoys, Dan's under the weather right now. He's doing better. He's hanging in there, so that's good. Nanette, remember she asked for prayer for her husband. They did the surgery, but it has spread through some lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep them in thought and prayer. Donna's knee, and then Walt's family, just keep them in thought and prayer. And then Leon's friend, Margie. Okay, I keep messing that up. Keep her in thought and prayer. We hope Julie's doing well.
She's said to tell everybody hi.
Well, will you tell her, say we said hey back.
Okay.
But other than that, everything, thoughts and prayer. Just keep this church in thought and prayer too. You know, I look around, many of you are much younger than I am. So you got a long way to go if the Lord tarries. But anyway, just keep our thought things, keep our church in thought and prayer, because we can grow, we can stay where we're at. And I do appreciate each and every one of you that comes and being fed, because I much rather see you guys in person than not knocking the people that's watching on the YouTube and stuff like that. But until you come together locally in a church setting, and you never know what's going on around you. You know, the TV's not going to tell you what the Word of God says right and right, amen? You know, and there's many ministries out there. It's on YouTube and internet and stuff like that, and you're finding all kinds of them, and you're like, whoa, this guy's good. Praise God, hallelujah, that we have access to some wonderful messages out there. But it still don't take away or take
the place
of a local church.
Amen.
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 Other than that, let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the things you've given us. We thank you for the prayer requests and praise items that we lifted up with you. And we know each week is a challenge. Each day is a challenge. And it seems like this world is going by, and it's almost like we forgot how to live. We forgot how to associate with each other. We forgot how to even do our jobs in some situations. And Lord, I know that if we don't concentrate and keep in mind of who we are in you, and you in us, and understand in the dispensation of grace the wonderful news that you have, and understand what's going on in this evil world, we can get sucked right into that and thinking that you're doing things that you're not. And Lord, we know that by staying the course and standing and flying the flag, that means more to you than anything else we can do outside of getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you will, we was talking about, we're in lesson 26 and the fundamentals of dispensationalism. And that's what FOD stands for. And you're getting the curriculum as Grace School of Bible have given to me. You're actually going through the school, and there's. Are you ready for a test today? That's what I want to know.
Oh no!
It's a
pop quiz.
You take all your notes and get ready to have a quiz. Now we have done that in the past, but today we're not. So last week we talked about the books of Acts, and we're in the book of Acts, so I'm going to close this up for a second. And as we study through the Bible, the Bible has a unique design in the Bible. And as you start to understand it, like, whoa, that's very, very, you know, only God can lay this out. But as we left off in the book of Acts, we looked at two verses last lesson, Acts 1 and Acts 28. But the book of Acts divides itself into two parts. And I forgot to welcome those out there on YouTube land and our Dispensation Bible Church app and Facebook and all. So I do apologize, but you're important to us also. Amen. So we thank you for tuning in. But the first part of chapter 1 through 12, that's how it runs, the first part. Then the second part runs from chapter 13 to 28. And I touched a little bit on this last week, but it's always good to renew your mind on some things. And the main figure in the first part of Acts, Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 12, who you think the main figure is in here? Who does everybody say you got to follow?
Peter,
okay? And then the main figure in the second part is
Paul.
Where's Paul at on this chart if it's a prophetic program?
He's not here.
In here. And so the center of activity in the first part is Jerusalem, and the center of activity in the second part is Antioch. And you can notice this. In the activity of the first part, you see the prophetic program. Everything is still the same right here, and that's what we're looking at. But in the prophecy program is functioning in the first part of Acts, and you see the diminishing away. Now, Acts chapter 3, verse 21 is a very, very important verse. It says, "Whom the heavens must receive into times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So we understand by rightly dividing the word of truth, God made a distinction between heaven and earth. God also made a distinction between the prophetic program and the mystery program. With the timeline as it looks right now, where is the mystery program at that we believe to be true for today?
It's hidden,
isn't it? Okay? It's not made known, so where's it at? Okay? God has, up to this time, he has not revealed it yet. And then the second part of the book, and I will go ahead and open this second part of the book up, and now you understand, you see some things that just should have just popped out on to you, and like, whoa, this is something new, this is something exciting, what is this all about? And the second part of the book, you see a mystery program in operation, and it begins to ascend into and through Paul's ministry. Now, Paul, as we're getting ready to find out, he's not saved in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Did he know who God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob was?
Yes.
Of course he did. Did he know what the Hebrew Bible has said?
Yeah.
Of course he did. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. You know, he touching the law, he was blameless. He was up in the echelons, if you will. But Romans 16:25 says, "Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Now you have something spoken since the world began, and you got something kept secret since the world began. Is that the same?
Nope.
It can't be the same. Okay? So this is something exciting. Reading from Acts 1 through chapter 7, you begin to see the diminishing away from the prophetic program. Now, you know, as well as I know, you can turn on the religious channels today and they still have you in a prophetic program riding this out. They still have you looking and you're going through the tribulation period. And I do honestly believe that the preachers that preaching that you're going, that you can lose your salvation, that you're going through the tribulation period. There is no pre-trib rapture. There is no this, there is no that. They do it to keep you in fear. They do it to control you. Okay? But once, let me ask you this. Do you have liberty in Christ Jesus?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Stand fast in the liberty.
Amen.
Okay? Where do you find that at?
In the halls.
Okay? All right? So if I want to control you, I'll put fear in you. If I want to control you, I'd have you lost today and you're saved today. I'd have you lost every Sunday to keep this flow going. Well, how many did you have come forward today? That type of thing. You know, there's people ask that. How many was baptized in your church today? That type of thing. And it's almost like a competitiveness thing. But that's not the issue. And you see the salvation of Saul and the rise of the mystery program, that is tremendously a distinction between the prophetic program and the mystery program. That's why we study the whole Bible, the Bible's on the way. That's why we are a dispensational Bible church. Okay? We're going to show you the distinction between the dispensation, and this is a dispensation of grace. And you have to have a King James Bible to see that word dispensation in your Bible. Others say administration. Others say this, stewardship. It's a dispensation. Four times Paul talks about this. And the whole purpose of what Luke does here is to demonstrate how this program starts and then how it stops and why it stops. This is what Acts does. And that's why it's very, very important you know the transitions. I brought that word up to my oldest daughter today. She said, look at you using some high word, because she had a new rug. Her floor's dark. She got a lighter rug and her furniture. I said, look at the transition. She goes, wow, you're saying some high. I'm going to have to use that. I said, I'm teaching the book of Acts. But anyway, the book of Acts is not meant to be the history book revealing the body of Christ. Begins in Acts chapter 2. You know people say that, don't you? You know there's 90% of your churches out there that you came out of, and if you're still in, they will teach you somehow, some way that the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And they'll use Acts chapter 2 verse 38. And we looked at those verses before, and we're probably going to look at them again. But it's not meant to be a history book revealing the body of Christ began in Acts 2 and how it expanded worldwide. But rather, it's an account of the program that begins there where Peter's ministry with Jerusalem as a center and fulfilling the prophetic program, prophecy program, and how that program, than continuing, has been interrupted. And set aside and replaced by a new program. Now, a lot of people can't understand that. A lot of people are still blind. I hope you're not here today, and you that are listening, because if this special commodities relocation engineer can understand by looking out through a windshield to understand how to rightly divide the word of truth and that God's word is real and he has made a distinction, anybody can do it. You just got dropped your pride, open your eyes, and believe the word of God. Now, in the book of Acts, there's a balance where you start with Peter, and then you move to Paul. And when you start with a prophetic program, prophecy, and then prophecy is interrupted, and it moves to a mystery program. And Paul is literally demonstrating in the book of Acts to be the perfect replacement for Peter, if you want to look at that way. Okay, you know people says today that when they cast lots and it fell on Matthias, some people say they was gambling and that didn't count. Paul replaces Judas. I've heard it all.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I even thought that
one time. I know some family members think that way. Today I'm like, no. Casting of lots has always been
a Jewish sign,
but they always cast lots and what it fell on. God let them do that. So what would this be any difference? Okay, and then ministry over there in the second part, Paul replaces the ministry in the first section, Peter's. Now this is why you see the demonstration of Paul being the replacement, and he is not. He is not whipped behind the chiefest apostles, as he says in Corinthians. Luke demonstrates that what Peter does in his ministry, Paul does in the ministry of the mystery of program. Let's look at some examples here. In the first part of section, Acts chapter 2, who's preaching here?
Peter.
That's his first sermon. In Acts chapter 13, Paul's first sermon. Acts chapter 3, Peter's healing the lame man. And it's a picture of the ministry to the restoration of Israel. I don't know if anybody's thought about that, but think about that. He's restoring Israel once again. He's given them an opportunity. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not offered. It's at hand. It don't get offered to Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now it's been offered. The restoring Israel. Israel, what was the first question in Acts chapter 1, verse 6?
When will you restore?
Will you at this time restore the kingdom? That's the issue at this time. They want to know, hey, you've been teaching us. You promised us. So who's he going to restore this kingdom to? Israel. You're not there. The body of Christ is not there. And then in Acts 14, Peter's healing the lame man. It's this picture of Paul's ministry among the Gentiles.
Paul's thing.
They both deal with sorcerers. Okay. Peter deals with one in Acts 8. Paul deals in one with Acts 13. Peter raises a lady from the dead. Paul raises a man from the dead. In the first book of Acts, Peter shadows, goes across people and heals them and causes miracles. In the latter book of Acts, Paul, handkerchiefs go out and people gets healed. You ever get them handkerchiefs in the mail? Prayer cloths. You know, to be a pit of, what do you call that type of paper? Like tissue paper.
Papayas.
Yeah, and they want you money. They want you to send money since they send you a prayer card. And then because of the miracles in Acts chapter 10, Peter is worshipped by Cornelius, and people fall down to worship Peter. In Acts 14, the heathen fall down to worship Paul. You know there's preachers out there today, people's falling down and worshiping them. Mm-hmm. You know there's people, leaders of churches, that they fall down and they kiss me, bless me, all that stuff. They're worshiping the man, not the God. Okay? Could you not get boastful in that? Look at me, look at this congregation. It seems like I know a guy right now is doing that on the internet ministries. And it's sad. I know where he's going. Okay, I know the path he's going on is destruction. Because when you lift it up, when you lift yourself up and not the Word of God and not God Almighty, then you can fall in destruction. And that can happen to anybody, guys. Any of us. In Acts chapter 8, people are given the Spirit by the laying on hands of the apostle, Peter's hands. In Acts 19, people are given the Spirit by the laying on Paul's hands. And if you look at the first book, part of the book, you see Peter's in prison. And the latter part of the book, who's in prison? Paul's in prison. And the reason that is that Luke is trying to demonstrate. Thank you. To you that the prophetic program goes on, is interrupted, falls away, and then replaced by mystery program. If you open your eyes and believe the Word of God, you'll see everything that we're just talking about naturally in the book of Acts. You have to force yourself saying Paul replaces this guy and this guy, and they're going right over here. And you have to be blind in one eye, can't see out of the other, to not see what we're actually talking about. And the mystery program perfectly and completes replaces the prophecy program. So remember that there's a balance in the book, and when you see this balance, you can see right division in the book itself. And chapters 1 to 12 and chapter 13 to 12. Now, the source and reason for the Acts 13 position, and we're going to look at some positions right now. We already know there's an Acts 2 position, that what we talked about. Church, body, Christ, start in. Then there's an Acts 13, what you really refer to, 9 through 18, 9 through 13, that type of thing, is a mid-Acts position. And then you have an Acts 28 position, and you need to know some of this stuff, okay? The way that the books of Acts is put together is a source and the reason that they're called an Acts 13 position. In other words, there's three basic ideas where the body of Christ began, just like I shared. One is on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, with the coming of the Holy Spirit. people. And then there's one that begins at Acts 28. And the book of Acts is over, and Israel is no longer being dealt with. And we place the mid-Acts section between 9 and 13 at the conversion of Paul, and I want to share this with you. Now, well, let me move on. You know, I believe and I teach that the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 9 with salvation and commissioning going to Apostle Paul. Not only did the body of Christ start in Acts chapter 9, but the dispensation of grace started in Acts chapter 9. And when you really think about that, when he records it in Acts 22 and 26, it's really obviously at that point that the ministry does later on begins at the conversion. When Paul says, "In me first," where did he get saved at? Acts 28?
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 2?
Mm-hmm.
He got saved on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Okay? And there's some brethren out there that don't believe it begins in Acts chapter 9, and some say Acts chapter 11 with the establishing of the church in Antioch, and some say 13. But when you read through the book of Acts, you can carefully see how it divides the first 12 chapters from the rest of the book. And the focus on the first 12 chapters is kingdom, Peter. And in chapters 13, 28, it's focused Paul, mystery. And it's completely, you can see the response and latches on to chapter 13 because that's where it starts to divide in the Antioch thing. But just remember, as you study your Bible, that rather being a pattern for us to follow in the dispensation of grace, the book of Acts is designed to explain why the program that began in Acts chapter 2 and on has passed away. That's the issue in the book of Acts. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. You don't want to base your doctrine out of the book of Acts for this reason. Now, why would book of Acts be there? It's there for a reason.
There's a transition.
And it begins, and he passes away. And the book of Acts confirms that Paul's epistles later on reveals with regard to the fact that the prophecy program has been interrupted. That's what his epistles do. It shows you why and explains why. And there's a new message, a new program. And when you see, when you come out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to Acts, you move from Peter to Paul, then after that, you have Paul's epistles explain what his ministry is about. And so when you read it, when you read the book of Acts, you notice a natural division and a transfer from Peter's message to Paul's message. And it's interesting note that it inflicts on the 12 apostles too, don't it? You know, it affects. How many apostles goes out for the body of Christ that we know of? There's one apostle to the body of Christ. How many apostles are there to the nation of Israel?
12.
King of Rome. 12. You know why? There's 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 is associated with Israel. And the transfer from the 12 apostles to Paul, and the book is designed to demonstrate how you pass from that prophetic program to the mystery program. Otherwise, if you didn't have what we're talking about, the fall and diminishing, and we're getting ready to get into that, you would have this program going on into the tribulation period of time. Israel has been replaced by the body of Christ. The prophecy program has been interrupted in the mystery program in the dispensation of grace. Now, we make a big to-do out of the dispensation of grace. We preach Christ crucified in the dispensation of grace. Okay? We don't preach the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ as your doctrine. Okay? Now go with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. Get Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. There's an outline of the book of Acts. It is found in Romans chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And it will teach us how to study all of the New Testament, if you'll add it. From Romans 15, 8, you remember what Romans 15, 8 says? Where we are when we study the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 15, 8 says, he told us that Jesus Christ was a minister of the what?
Circumcision.
So we know something. Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision, right? There's a distinction. Circumcision, uncircumcision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Physically and spiritually, if you want to just put it that way. Paul says, Romans 15, verse 8, that Jesus Christ was a minister. If you got a new Bible version, you know what it says?
Has become.
So that should like, wait a minute. Paul's saying, if that's true, that Jesus Christ has become a minister of circumcision, so guess what? There's no distinction.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul's saying, you're part of circumcision. You see how all this spiritual Israel stuff can get caught up? Like, they so much want you to be a part of something God's not doing that they change the Bible versions. They change that one little word, was. Christ died at Calvary, and he ascends into heaven. And then the Holy Spirit was sent back on the apostles at Pentecost. You'll find the book of Acts outlined for your understanding in Romans chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And notice what it says. You there?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what did I say, 15:8?
Mm-hmm.
Sixteen, I think it was. Paul says he should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile, ministering of God. So his apostleship is sure. But Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they, now who's they?
Israel.
Now if you understand the book of Romans, and we went through the book of Romans, and we probably do it before any of us departs this earth again. Book of Romans is a great book of doctrine. I mean, every time we teach it, you just learn something more and more and more. But if you think about what it, first five chapters of Romans deals with
justification.
6, 7, 8 deals with
sanctification.
9, 10, 11 deals with dispensation. Okay. Chapters 9, 10, 11 of Romans is going to explain to the saved Jew in that kingdom program that God hasn't forgot about you. Okay? So that's why we call it a dispensational. He's shown it, the distinction there. Then 12 through 16 is application. You're going to take all this information and you start applying it to your life in the dispensation of grace. And that's how you grow. Book of Romans is very, very important. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? There's a question mark there. What's the answer?
God
forbid. But rather through their fall is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, now who's the them?
Israel.
Israel, okay? The riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, in the relationship to what starts over in Acts, there are three basic things you have to identify. He says, have they stumbled that they should fall? What's the answer?
God.
No. Okay? They stumble, but they do not fall. But then he says, but rather through their fall, salvation's come to Gentiles. You're like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
They stumble but don't fall, but later they do fall. That's very, very important. Because they're going to fall, but they didn't fall. but they're going to fall. And then they're going to diminish. Then he talks in verse 12 about the diminishing of them. That is, there is a stumbling, there is a fall, and then there's a diminishing. Those three things, remember how we talked about going, going, gone?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like, okay, Israel, three strikes, you're out. You know, I share this with people all the time. Politically, when God left Israel politically, they started whoring around with other gods. They started going after other, fornicating with other religions. He was literally on the mercy seat at one time. He gets up going, threshold going, wilderness, mountainside gone. He comes, Jesus Christ, God the Father. Strike one, gone, going. Jesus Christ, crucified, going. Stoning of Stephen, gone. Now he stumbled. Paul says, Acts chapter 9, it's first for you to hear these words, but I'm going to the Gentiles. Lo, I go to Gentiles. 18, lo, I go to Gentiles. 28, lo, I go to Gentiles. This is stumbling, fall, and diminishing. They're stumbling when they don't fall. They just stumble, but they don't fall. They recover themselves. Have you ever done that? You stumble on, you're like, well, I hope nobody saw me do that. Walk on ice. They tell you to walk like a penguin. You know that? You don't walk like this down the ice. I've done that a couple of times. Like, and you look around and see if anybody's seen you. Then you stumble. And you're like, well, I'm glad I didn't fall. And then you take another step, boom. Face first. But look, then they do fall. And when they do, they fall in a gradually manner. They just don't come off the side of a cliff and go off. Okay? They gradually fall, diminishing away. He's giving them opportunities to get, once trying to get them in the body of Christ, to... They're understanding what God is doing. He's not fulfilling that prophetic program. Verse 11. If we can identify in the book of Acts the timing of these three points, it will aid in our understanding on how to rightly divide the book of Acts. And Romans 9, 10, 11 are designed to tell us from a perspective in the dispensation of grace what happened to Israel. That's why we call it a dispensational view. In 9, 10, 11. He's not writing to us, per se, but he's explaining to Israel why. And I always love this illustration, like Paul's teaching Gentiles, which there are heathens, and there's a kingdom Jew back there, but what about me? What about me? He said, hang on, man. We'll get to you in a second. Then Romans 9, 10, 11 explains that you had the oracles of God. You was doing this, you doing that. But you know what? You're stumbling. You're falling. You have fallen. Okay. God hasn't forgot about you. He has put this kingdom program, he has postponed it. He's going to fulfill it. But in your mind, could you really see, like right now, if God's not doing a kingdom, he's never going to do a kingdom. Yeah, he is. He's going to fulfill what he promised. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 11, 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, then guess what they do? They do fall. And the stumbling does not cause them to fall. Later on, there is a fall. Now, what do we mean about all that? In Romans chapter 9, let's see if we have to turn there. Yeah, you can be turning to Romans chapter 9, but hold your fingers in Romans 11. When we don't understand the verse, what do we have to do?
Search for other scriptures to help explain it.
Yes, there you go. You search scriptures, compare scriptures to scripture. Remember the three meanings how we study the Bible? Literal method.
Allegorical.
No. Compare verse for verse. We don't want to study allegorical. And rightly divide. There's three ways that you have to do this. Three basic principles. And we'll apply it in the first principle as we read Romans 11, 11. Taking it to what it means, what it says. Okay? We already read it, I'm gonna read it again. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of Gentiles, how much more the fullness? Sometimes this verse confuses people until you really think about it. Did they stumble that they should fall? No. They didn't stumble, but they shall fall, but rather through their fall. Then they did not fall. This is what we're talking about. What's that, all that mean? I've probably said that four times at least, and you're probably like, you're confusing me, Ed. Did they stumble?
God forbid. No.
Had they stumbled that they should fall? They did stumble, but they didn't fall.
Okay.
And that means that they stumbled, but they didn't fall, but later they did fall. And you do this by comparing verses when you find some things. Now, Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, verse 30, Paul had already told them this. This is the information that they already knew about when you reach Romans chapter 11. That's why when you teach and you read, you know, you can give attendance to reading, but when you start studying, you better start figuring out some things like what's going on here. So what shall we say then? What is the conclusion that we are able to reach about the reshaping of the nation Israel? That's what shall we say then? What's going on? And in Romans 9:3, Paul is describing the present condition of the nation Israel, how God has taken them from the position of honor, which they had once had, and placed them in a position of dishonor. That's what he did. And the vessels of dishonor is down here among the Gentiles. That must have drove them nuts, guys. You think about them today, they would not sit in here, a true Israelite would not sit in with a bunch of Gentiles. You're unclean. And he's asking a series of questions in Romans 9 about what we are to understand seeing that God has done. And the conclusion starts in verse 30. What shall we say then? After all them questions that he told them, here's the conclusion that it draws based on the reshaping of Israel. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. That must have been a shocker. You're telling me a bunch of Gentiles wasn't following righteousness or going to obtain righteousness? When we had the laws and we had this and we was doing what's right? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained the law of righteousness. That's what I talked about back over here. Did they not have the law pointed to them to tell them a sinner? Did they not have all these oracles of God? And what did the Bible say? They did not what? What did it just say? Not obtained it. And if you read chapter 10 of Romans, it will tell you that they did it knowingly. They did it out of ignorance. They knowing what God told them to do, they said, I'm not doing what I'm doing over here. So that's why people said they'd lose this and they lose that, because they didn't stay the course. In the dispensation of grace, many of us better be glad that we don't have to stay the course that God did for us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we talk about stumping our toes and stuff like that. You know, the things that we may do in this body is not pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. And if he wanted to kick us out because of that, that would be most miserable, wouldn't it? That's how you people says you're lost today. You need to come up here and do this. Get it right now. Get it right now. Next week you're back doing the same thing. So he says, wherefore, verse 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it was works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, As it is written, behold, I say in Zion, I lay in Zion, a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Now, the stumbling stone and a rock of offense, what do you think that is?
Jesus Christ.
It's a person, right? Yeah. Okay. And there's only one time in history when God Almighty laid a stumbling stone and a rock of offense for the nation of Israel to fall over, and that person was who?
Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. And they what? Lifted him up and put that stone out there and said, we're worshiping you. What did they do?
They crucified him.
They rejected him. They did not believe in him. And they started in Isaiah 8. And they quoted over and over in the scriptures about Jesus Christ being the stumbling stone and the rock of offense. That's why if you was a Bible believer back over here and had the oracles of God and you was teaching the right things, when John the Baptist come on the scenes, you would identify you need to get right and get in that little flock over here. Because God's changing. God has put it. The nation of Israel has fallen in apostasy. John the Baptist comes on the scene, they should identify him, and many did.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give some of us credit, right, if it was there. You know, I give some of you credit because you're here today, studying the Word of God, right, divided. But you know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't get it. A lot of people don't get the political realm going on out there. Some people do. It may take a little bit of time. And your eyes open up, you're like, whoa, this makes sense. Then Jesus Christ comes on the scene, the rock, the offense, and the king. And what do? They crucified him, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And Luke chapter 20, get Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. When he says, I'll behold a stumbling block and a rock of offense, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. And where did they stumble at him? They stumbled at him right there at the
cross.
Okay. The nation did. With me? The nation did. There's some individuals believed him and followed him, and they became that little flock. See? And that's why Jesus Christ says, it's my Father's good pleasure to give to you, little flock, the kingdom of God. He takes it from that whole nation of Israel, and you know they must have been mad.
Furious.
Now they stumbled, but they did not fall right there at the cross. They stumbled. Look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to place, which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and one on the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derived him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen God. You know good and well, they knew he was the Christ, mm-hmm. the chosen God. You know they did. The rulers recognized him and claimed to be Christ. He had the credentials, as we looked at several lessons ago. He saved others and so forth. While they understood the one that they was crucifying, claimed to be the Messiah, they were blind in believing it. Now, I know a lot of blind people out there today in believing this message. And we know what the scripture says. Satan has blinded the minds of those who walk. Okay? There's a blindness going on out there, and Satan hates this message more than anything in the dispensation of grace, the gospel, the preaching of the cross. And the blindness of unbelief, that's what it is. I just don't believe it. Now, did he work miracles and wonders and stuff while he was on this earth? They should have believed it as a nation. And when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And God Almighty, rather through pouring out the wrath that was supposed to come down on them at the point of crucifying his son, the Messiah, God Almighty gave Israel an extended mercy. We talk about mercy and grace all the time. Mercy, mercy. You're standing in front of a judge. Mercy, mercy. You ever said that to a judge? Some of you probably never had a ticket before in your life. I have. I've stood in front of the judge. It's not a pleasant thing, even for a traffic ticket. And I pleaded mercy. And sometimes they gave you mercy. Well, I had one guy said, "You know, I did 45 and 25 down home on a back street. They wrote me a ticket, and I stood in front of the judge at traffic court, because it's your right to go to court. Many of you just here, but I was, and I told him, I said, "Your Honor, I said, I'd like to have a little mercy. I want my driving record to speak in my behalf." It was unclean. And he goes, "Mr. Yarber, your driving record's not in question here. Everybody's entitled to one or two tickets. I'll make it easy on you, $25. See, if I was in there like, "Who are you to tell me, you know, let me," he could said $150 plus court costs. But he gave me a little mercy. But he was honest. He said, "Your driving record's not in question here." Now, think about this right here. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's forgiven them for crucifying his son. The Father, God, answer his prayer, Jesus Christ's prayer. And you're going to see this in a second. Go to Acts chapter 3. He extends them some mercy. Now, you know what Peter did in Acts chapter 2, right? "You with quick and wicked hands is crucified." Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I told you, "Jim, you with wicked hands, did this, I'm convicting you, right? You have a murder indictment on you. That's what Peter does in Acts chapter 2 with the 15 nations of Jews that's sitting there. And they said, "What shall we do? Repent, be baptized, remiss of sins," that type of thing. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, "And when Peter saw it," and we talked about that a couple weeks ago, what did he saw? People's like a stoning that he raised a guy from lame man. Okay, he's laying at the gate, and guy asked for alms, right?
Mm-hmm.
"And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Massillon, Ohio, and Stark County, and all the counties associated with it.'"
No.
"You men of the United States have offended." I mean,
no.
America.
No.
No. "You men of who?"
Israel.
Who's he talking to here, guys?
Israel.
That's very, very important. "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are our witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which he is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through what?
Ignorance.
Ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has shown by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive into the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. He, Peter, is saying Christ has gone away. He's coming back over there in that millennium kingdom over there. And he's going to set up the kingdom and the times of restitution. And he will be fulfilling the things that the prophets had talked about. Verse 21. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whosoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. When the time, he's saying, repent. He said, you did it ignorantly. Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, repent and be converted that your that the times are refreshing. He sends Jesus Christ back over here.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about the dispensation of grace in here, guys. This is something different. Peter's talking about something that's coming over there. And he tells them about a wrath that's going to come, and they knew about a wrath going to come. John the Baptist says, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Mm-hmm.
This time period right here. And the fact that the ones that do not trust him are going to be destroyed in the tribulation period. That's still taking up. Verse 25. Yes. Okay, thank you. And ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds be kindreds of the earth be blessed. That's the blessings, right? I bless you, I bless them. Unto you first, God hath raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now, you can't read this passage and not understand that Israel has not fallen.
Right.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
The falling, the stumbling, the falling, the diminishing. They have not fallen yet, guys. So that first part of Acts is still giving them every opportunity to get right and get in a program and be saved so they can go in a kingdom program. Peter's talking to the nation there. At Pentecost, he was talking to individuals. But now he's talking to the nation of Israel. And they had stumbled. They had made a mistake. They had crucified their Messiah, but God Almighty changed the indictment. He used a loophole in the law, what he did. And God claimed it for them and changed it from a murder to a manslaughter. He said, through ignorance ye did it. It's a sin of ignorance. How many of us has been down that road before? Sin of ignorance, yeah. That's why we talk about willfully ignoring and ignoring. You can ignore something. Just go away. Then you can willfully ignore what's right. And many of us need to wake up in this world that's saying, listen, I'm no longer going to willfully ignore what God is doing in a dispensation of grace. Sin of ignorance. It was something you were blinded to, and you did it ignorantly. Therefore, if there's a renewed opportunity of repentance given to the nation of Israel in the early part of Acts, so they stumbled there at the cross. They stumbled, but they did not fall. And there is not set aside at that point, but they're going to stumble, but not a falling. I like to end it there if it's okay, and then we'll pick it up next week about stumble and all that. But Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us, and thank you for the things you do through your grace each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and visit our website, our YouTube channel, and our Facebook page when you can. Until next week.